Suicide never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that pep is ever better get checked. It ain't no different second when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get wet.
My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time, 3 p.m. West Coast time, Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time, and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
Everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Quickie, the Clock Sisters.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, guys, you know I am pleased and happy to be here with you. I just want to enjoy the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and have you share your opinions with me. We're always looking for ideas to talk about on the show. And we want our topics to run the gamut from political to community-based to just sometimes just, you know, show some love for people that have been exciting, have been inspiring, and who have been just over the top. And today I just want to spend some time talking about Venus and Serena. And I just want to go into depth about what these two women mean to me. And it almost seems like I've grown up with these two young ladies. They are in their mid-30s now, and they are still extremely competitive. I'm 56, and so when I
say that these people have been a big part of my life ever since they were in their teens. And it is just so wonderful to have them to be silencing the critics that were so critical of the way their father raised them, so critical of the way they looked, critical of their commitment to their craft. And they were criticized each way of Sunday. I mean, there's an old saying. Joyce, do you remember what that old saying has to do with Sunday? They were criticized each day of Sunday or each way of Sunday. How does that go?
Pardon me? What is it that you were saying? I'm sorry.
There's some old saying that says that they were done each way of Sunday. I'm not sure. But I just want to talk about how they talked about these girls so terribly when they first got started, how their father wasn't professional enough to really be taking control of their careers. He didn't quite know what he was doing. They talked about their hair, talked about their appearance. They talked about everything you could suggest. And now you have these two women still beating people in their mid-30s. And it's just so wonderful. I'm so proud of them, Joy.
Not only are they still beating, they still care in tennis. They care in tennis. As a matter of fact, those two young ladies, I call them the sister acts. Those two sister acts, they really bring in tennis where it is today. I remember when they ridiculed them so bad, and they talk about the bees, how the bees would be breaking on the court, and what they looked like, and they tried to really dismantle the dad, saying that he did not know how to coach him in the whole bit. But look at them now. I am just so proud and elated for both of them. And today, Serena, she honored her sister because she said that she gave her the drive to be where she is today. And I am just so elated that they still got it going on. And for Venus to come back to get healthy, you know, it just means everything to her too. So it's a beautiful day today.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me how much they've meant to me over the years and how they changed and matured and did not allow other people's negative feeling of them alter their being and how they just stayed so close. You know, I'm talking about these are some of the most successful sisters who did not allow them, even themselves, to get in their way. You know, you had never heard of them bite backing or fighting each other, or, you know, they've lived with each other for the longest. You never heard of, well, Venus is leaving Serena, she's getting her own home. You know, none of that foolishness. You know, no drugs, no alcohol problems. I mean, they are just such a special image and live their own lives. And, you know, you're so right. They have been carrying women's tennis for such a long time. And it's just like, will it end? Because neither one of them seems, I'm just wondering, will they be winning tournaments into their 40s or what?
I hope so, because it seemed like to me Venus just got revitalized with her health, which is a good thing. And, you know, they even try to ridicule their religions, remember, because if I'm not mistaken, they're Jehovah's Witnesses, aren't they?
Right, they are, yes.
And you remember they tried to ridicule them and their religions, particularly with the father. It was just really sick. You know, we have a sick society. It's tried to divide and conquer, but they never could succeed with that family, and that's a good thing.
And they've turned into two beautiful women. They tried to suggest they weren't attractive. They did all kind of things. Kathy, you have they've been a part of our world so long. You know, what are your thoughts about Venus and how we've lived with them for so long?
I just piggyback on everything you guys were saying. They were just here last month because, you know, they grew up in the city of Compton. So they did rename a couple of parks after them, the park that they played at when they were little, and then another park So they were here. Some of the people that I know were able to take pictures with them and talk with them. They are doing an outstanding job to live their life in front of the camera so gracefully. You know, you don't hear, you know, any really harsh stuff about them. You don't see anything about them on, you know, how they capture pictures of them doing anything wrong. So, I mean, they're living their lives out as gracefully as they should. And I applaud them. They're staying in shape and they're continuing to go and continue to play tennis. I hope they play up until 40, 45, you know, but it's nothing but the grace of God that has allowed them to continue to do what they're doing and to continue on. And they love each other. They're sisters that
they
love
do.
Each other. You know, you don't
they
see
really
any
do.
Hate between them. You see love, and the older sister is always trying to make sure that her younger sister, you know, is able to get through things. And you know how they say when you have a bigger sister, the little sister always tries to do more, achieve more than the bigger sister. And I think that the older sister, you know, sees and knows what her heart, what her younger sister's heart and desire is, and she allow her to do, you know, a lot of other different stuff as well. She don't show any hate when she wins. She shows love, like, you know, like it's her, and it really is her because they're sisters. So if you win, I win. That's how it is in a
That's
family.
Right.
Family
That's
members
right.
succeed in something, then that means the whole family has succeeded because that came up out of our family. So I say hooray, hooray, hooray. God bless them and continue to bless them and prosper them in everything that they do, from their clothing line to their makeup line to everything that they do, the writing the books and her getting engaged. I am so happy for them, you know.
And it is such, they have been such icons. And I'm telling you that those people have, when you talk about people have talked about them negatively for I don't know how long. I know when Joyce, when they first came on the scene, they talked about the bees. They talked about why can't they get their hair done and why can't they do this. And, you know, they just went about the business. You know, their father refused to let them have a long career in the amateurs. He said he just wasn't going to sit out there and let them waste their time in the amateurs. So they turned pro very early. Venus was very successful initially. And then several years after, Serena was able to show off her abilities. And then they talked about, well, they weren't real committed because they weren't spending as much as time practicing it as they need to. And now here we are with Serena being one victory away from tying the most victories ever by a person, and doesn't look like she's stopping anytime soon. And Venus seems to be – go ahead, Joyce.
That's correction. She made 23, so she's over – she's the most highly titled person now. As of today,
right, during the open period. But there's one other person who won 24 before the open started. So she just she just won from the 24 and then two from the 25, which is probably going to happen this year. And so, I mean, but once they were talking about, well, she's not very committed. She doesn't seem like she really wants to commit herself to her sport enough to be the very best. And, I mean, these two girls have just kept themselves so healthy. I mean, even with the issues that Serena has overcome, you know, they have not had many health issues throughout their career that they haven't been able to overcome. And they just seem to be just so on top of things right now in their 30s, which inspires everybody. Black, white, and no matter what your age, you have to be inspired by these two women still being on top of their game when most of the time it's the younger women. I think they say that Serena has won something like 11 or 12 Opens since she has turned 30, and before her, there were only three wins for somebody over the age of 30. So she's just become more dominant in her 30s than ever before. Dee, what are your thoughts about these two sisters?
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
You know, it's strange but good that you brought these two ladies to be a topic tonight. And, you know, there's two sides of the conversation that I just want to touch on briefly. But let me go to the positive side first. That being, you know, we spoke about a few days ago to name some iconic figures that could be a influence, positive influence to our younger people going forward. And I would hope, if they're not already doing so, I wish that somebody would encourage them and to be that influence. They are some astronomical people. They are very competitive. They've been rivals for a long time in a loving way, but they've been rivals on the court, a force to be reckoned with. If you wanted to be great, you had to beat these two girls, these two ladies. And so, like you all said, if it wasn't for them, the game of tennis would have been long dead. And so they are like the Tiger Woods of that game. And so it's great that they are still out there and competitive. And like you said, we're just more than happy for them. On the other side of the coin is the negative side, which is the ridicule and the hateration. You know, we as a people have enough trials trying to stay positive within our own community. And, you know, when you're in a professional spotlight in a worldwide stage, the other side definitely going to hate you just because you're good or just because you tried long and trained hard enough to be good. You know, there's a certain sector of people that don't expect people of color to be able to do anything. And when you prove them wrong, then the hate or the disapproval is automatic. So it's strange how the disapproval is automatic because they want our kids to not to be able to think that they can achieve anything in life. And I posted something on Facebook today. I've changed my profile page and things like that. And I try to use Facebook in a way of getting people to think outside the box as opposed to just doing crazy and saying crazy stuff. And so one of the questions that I posted was, whose fault is it if a child does not have a positive self-esteem? And so, and like before, I don't get much of an answer on that. I get some likes, but no one want to interject and to think long and hard enough to answer the question. And so, you know, we as parents, it's our job to make sure that our children have some kind of a foundation to acquire a good self-esteem. You know, we spoke about in days past about always assuming that life is going to take care of itself or they're going to learn what they need to learn in the streets. And far too long we have done that, and, you know, we let our kids fall through the cracks. So I am so proud of their accomplishment, and I want to thank you for bringing them to the stage tonight.
And one of the things is that their father should go down in history as the one who took them out on the court, who spent hours and hours with them. And that's the dedicated father. And, you know, we want to believe, or some people want us to believe, that we don't have a lot of fathers like that. But I think that's the furthest thing from the truth. I think their father is like a lot of fathers who are doing what is necessary for his child to prosper
but they just don't get the recognition. And his dad was so visible during their first years into tennis, and he was so committed and dedicated to doing it his way, and his way worked. No matter who's coaching them now, had he not been the one to guide them through the beginning, they wouldn't be where they are now. And certainly they had some bad press when their sister got killed, when their parents got divorced. But these two women have lived in a way that was nearly spotless and they dealt with controversy. You know, when they have helped people, the women, to get paid because Venus has worked tirelessly on making sure that their pay was equal to the men's pay. There were times when they refused to go to places where they were booed or treated unfairly. And so it's just amazing to me how they maneuvered through these almost 20-plus years in this sport, ignoring the people who told them they were unattractive, told them they looked like gorillas and all that other foolishness, and they just prospered into such beautiful girls and went on about their business, Serena being in a lot of commercials, Venus being in commercials, and just doing and taking care of business. Both of them have ownership in the Miami Dolphins, and you will never heard anything about them filing prey to any financial troubles. These girls have been on top of everything that is associated with their careers. Cassie, what are your thoughts about that? Because you were aware of some of the tragedies they lived with their sister being murdered in Los Angeles area, and them still being committed to Los Angeles, even though they live now in the Miami area.
Yeah, again, I just think that they're living their lives out in a graceful manner. You know, I know that their mom and dad both, you know, are covering them in prayer, and I know that a lot of other people are actually covering them in prayer. And again, I just commend them to not even react when the people are trying to come against them in those negative ways about talking about their skin and how they look. But they're beautiful. We know they're beautiful because we see the beauty in them. And I was just reading, it's not always about the outside beauty, but it is about the inside beauty. And that inside beauty reflects that outside beauty. So when they go places and when they do things, the people are not looking at them, but they're looking at that beauty that has been bestowed inside of them. So I commend those girls. I really do, because they are doing it. They are doing it the right way, and they're staying focused regardless when people come against them. They're saying things on social media, but, you know, that's what haters do. They try to hate to bring you to the point to where you react to the negativity. Now, if we... You know, I'm saying we, meaning me too, if we can get that concept to know that what we're doing is greater than what's being said about us, we'll be able to be great as well. Because, see, they're not looking at what's being said about them, but they're looking at what their mission is. And their mission is to be an example. Their mission is to make something great. Their mission is to show people that it can be done. And that's what they're doing. You know, that's what they're doing. They are being an example for everybody around them.
And what's so amazing is they don't get caught up in the norm. They have not been involved in a lot of nowhere going relationships. They don't get caught up in the entertainment mess. They just seem to stay above the fray. You know, now Serena is engaged, but neither one of them have any bad marriages that they've been behind. You don't know a whole lot about many relationships that they've been in that have gone too public and broken up badly. And so they have just seemed to be able, despite their star, the stardom, that they never got caught up into that foolishness too much. You know, they talked about them grunting one time, oh, they're too loud, they're not ladylike, when they were playing tennis. They just tried to make up everything they could to why these girl ladies were so strong and hitting the ball so hard and just disposing of their competition so easily. And so it is just wonderful that they have been able to just display such greatness. And I say, like, neither one of them have you ever heard that they were losing all their money, they ain't had no money, they had to keep playing because of money. And they played for their country in the Olympics. They just did everything with such grace. Joyce, what do you think about that, how they just been just above the fray? Venus fighting for equal pay. And like Dee said, not only, I believe they carried the men's tennis as well as the women's tennis.
Exactly. I agree with that 100%. Not only that, I don't know whether or not you guys remember that, you know, when Serena made the magazine about the most beautiful body, they tried the ridicule about that. What I like how she did and how she reacted, she took the high road. She still showed her elegancy, you know. And then that's when they blasted whoever said that. And I think it was a news guy who did it. But they blasted them so badly, made them retract that because she has an athlete body. And I think that's what they kind of tried to indicate with Simone. But you're going to look at athletes. We're built totally different. We have a different type of elegance about us. But throughout that ordeal, she didn't say anything. She let the public go after them, which was really nice. Not only are they very successful, I think they're on, one of them is on HSN. I think it's Serena, her clothing line, and Venus. They're all doing great things. They go back to the community. They put the money back there. They support young tennis players coming up. So, they will go down in history as the best sister act that no one could ever beat, and that's for sure.
Well, there will never be another group, a pair of sisters who will be able to match them whatsoever. I mean, it's just unforeseeable that would be the case. But let me ask you this. Why has it, you know, they've been in the game for at least in the public eye for at least 20 of their – probably more, probably 25 of their 30-plus years. And why haven't we been able to create or cultivate any other black women in that same field? It looked like they should have inspired another generation of young people to get involved in tennis. And I think I can only think of one other African-American woman that spent any time in the spotlight. I think that was Dr. J's daughter was visible at one point. But that's been about it. Why do you think there hasn't been anybody else to break the stardom of female tennis, women of color?
Well, I think it's the disinterest in changing the mindset. For the longest time, and I touch on this all the time, for the longest time, we have settled for things being the way they are. I mean, as far as the culture of Black America as it is right now, and I think that there's a level of disinterest that's been displayed of tweaking the mindset of our young people growing up to overcome adversities, overlook anything that's said about you, don't pay that no attention. There's no such thing as you can't do it. You push hard and you push long and you grind and you're going to get exactly what you want to get. And so I think that these two ladies and a show like this one where we got people that's calling on the show, all of us, the six of us or the five or six of us, are on every corner of the nation. I'm in Georgia. There's somebody over in Missouri and California and Mississippi. And so I think that shows like this is going to jar the impulse to make a difference and to for us to step out and start to change the mindset, change the thinking of enlightening our young people of what you can do. You can do it. There's no such thing as can't. Forget what they say about you. Forget what your friends say. If they're not trying to achieve something in life, you need to drop them. Stop trying to be so likable by a bunch of nobodies and things like that. So, I can really appreciate the subject matter. There's one other thing I wanted to say, but I can't think of what it is right now. So you can come back to me.
Okay. And one of the things I want to say, Kathy, is when he was doing this, you know, I mean, I've never had my daughter, I got her involved in track. So she was involved in track. She was involved in basketball. She was in the band. But, you know, it's just amazing to me that it's been so long that no other black females have gotten involved in this sport or become successful in the sport. Because obviously it seems that tennis is a sport that you can play for a long time. You know, we got some people involved in gymnastics, but you can't be 30-some years old and be on top of your game in gymnastics, I don't think. So, you know, what is it that, you know, why do you think it's been so long since so many, we haven't had any other black females from America get involved in tennis? Or get started in tennis?
Well, that sport is an investment, too. You see, the dad took an investment in his kid. So there has to be an adult that really can spot someone and take that investment and put an investment in somebody. And putting that investment in them, that's giving them the courage, the motivation. You know what I mean? You know, that's the reason. So you got to have somebody who really think enough of that person to put an investment in that person. You see what I'm saying? So it takes an adult, too. It takes two ways. We got to reach out and let them know, you know, and you got to spot it. You got to be willing to take that investment. That dad, that was a sacrifice, too, that the whole family did. So they did as a unit. This is where we're going with this. You know, this is the family, you know, stepping stone. This is our blueprint. So we got to have somebody to spot that diamond in the rough, be willing to work with it, to brush it off a little bit, to groom it, to mold it, and go all the way.
Right. It takes a day.
I like to say that's what happened.
It takes a lot of day-to-day process. You know, I mean, he showed a lot of commitment, and sometimes I don't think he gets his just due. Kathy, what are your thoughts about their father and whether or not he gets his just due about, you know, the dedication he made?
Well, I'm assuming that there are some other fathers right now training and preparing their daughters to come up to take their place. So, you know, we don't know because we don't see, but I'm sure somebody somewhere is in training with their children to take that spot when they retire. And I think that's a great thing. I think that's how it's supposed to be. That's an investment in your child.
Mm-hmm.
When you see something great, you know, in your child, even when you don't see anything great in them, you're still supposed to invest in them. Like the young man said, you have to encourage them. You have to let them know that they can do anything. You got to tell them, hey, your friends don't know anything. You know, you can be anything that you want to be, you know, just like them. They knew in their hearts that they wanted to do something different. So they began to practice. You know, they had somebody behind them supporting them and taking them to that next level. So what it is commitment. You have to be committed to the purpose, you know, in order to see that change. So if you're not committed, then how you expect for the kids to be committed? So it's about commitment on both ends, because you can make a person do something for so long and then you can give up. But he showed commitment regardless of what was going on. He stayed committed because he saw the long haul. He saw them in the long run, and even though he's not doing it now, you know, that's a prodigy of him. It's not a prodigy of whoever is training them now. That's a prodigy of him, because I'm sure in their mind is some things when they are playing, they think of some of the things that their dad told them, that their dad taught them, you know, and different things like that. So kudos to him and those dads that are, you know, backing their kids and are committed to their kids and being a little extra hard on their kids, you know, because they want them to be something greater, you know, than what they was or, you know, want to be.
And what's amazing, you know, the lengths he went to, because he talked about how he would have to, before his kids could practice, he'd have to go out there and brush the courts off with glass, where people would just throw their bottles on the court. And his girls were the only people out there using the court. And they just had such a wonderful story that is so inspirational. I'm sure they inspired people that were in other sports as well. And that's why we got so many, such a diverse group of stars in such different areas, that women are starting to really understand what it is that they can accomplish. And a lot of that goes along with these young women being inspired by Venus and Serena. But let me say something about the negative side, like Dee said. I just think it's time for us to stop the foolishness, you know. And some of the foolishness comes from white America, but some of that foolishness comes from black America as well, like Gabby Douglas, who people talking about her hair and talking about this and talking about that. And what I think Serena brings about to the table is, no, she doesn't have the perfect shape, but she can still get across that court. God has just blessed her, and she sprints across that court and gets to them balls, even though she got thick thighs and she got a large behind. And, they showed a YouTube video of one of the girls who put a towel in her shorts and put towels inside her brassiere to imitate Serena. And I just thought that was in such poor taste. And that's something that happened recently. So these people just will not quit with talking about her body shape. And, you know, but they forget she get to any ball that she wants to, and she hits that ball so hard and so fast on the serves that they can't even get to it. And so I just think their whole life is such an inspiration. Dee, you figured out what it was you wanted to say?
Yes, I did, James, and you touched on it briefly. Class and having good taste amidst of adversity and people talking about you. You know, I think it was Julie that said that that black women are shaped differently, and so but the Williams sisters, like our first lady, carried her adversities very well, with grace. And I think that all of that is something that we can teach our girls, our boys, to have class and taste, and to have some culture in your life to where, you know, people gonna talk about it. Now, I gotta agree with you. You know, white America, yeah, they can be nasty. There's a great part of Black America that's just as nasty. And I don't know if and what gets me is when or how can we reach these folks to implement change? You know, we always talk about change. And so there has to be, you know, going 20 years forward, in the next 20 years, what changes are we going to make so we can turn the hands of time forward to where we can be in a good place to go forward for the next 100 years. So, you know, for the next 25 years, I don't know, I might not be here. But those of you that are here, what changes are we going to incite to our kids? Look, you got to stop it. You got to stop the mess. We got to do something better. We got to start thinking differently. And we have covered a lot of subjects since I've been with y'all. And so the seed's going to have to be dropped so where these our folks can start thinking a little differently and better.
Because you got to think about the bigger picture. We got to stop thinking about the small picture. You know, when these girls were wearing all those beads in their hair, beads were prevalent. It wasn't like they were trying to bring an old style back. That was what a lot of these girls were doing. And it just seemed that people were just getting on them for no reason. And then these girls grew into their beauty. I mean, they, you know, first of all, it's almost like, why would you even subject these young girls at 15, 14, 15, 16, to putting them on the air like that? You know, you don't go around telling young girls who are just coming into themselves that kind of foolishness. And these two young girls have came into their beauty. They've came into their body and love of themselves. Just thank God they didn't get depressed and go to pills or go to alcohol, and they just stayed strong throughout their lives and not allow that stuff to get to them mentally, Cassie.
Yeah, you know, I believe that they knew that what they have is real beauty, that their body shape is real. And I know that they know that the people that are really saying something about them, they call those people haters, jealousy, because they are jealous because of what they have and how they've grown up and how their body shapes are. Because if you think about it, James, in the world, people are paying to get some of the stuff that she has. People are paying to get a butt. People are paying to get their skin tan. People are paying to get their lips injected. People are paying for breasts. But we have all of that. You know, we don't have to pay for that. We need to get confidence in ourselves, like those sisters have confidence in themselves. But I believe that they do have their downtime, you know, where they sit back and they, well, why, you know, but they don't allow the media to know that they have this time, because we all have times where we feel a little down or a little bit depressed. But then, you know, if something or someone comes and say, hey, it's going to be okay, everything going to be all right, just keep going, you know, brush yourself off and keep going. So I believe that they know that that's hateration and jealousy. And we all know how the media is, how they do. They'll take something and they'll twist it around, turn it around and add words to it to make it seem worse than what it actually is. But I'm glad that she overcame all of those critics that were talking about her butt and about her skin. I'm glad that she overcame and she continued on to be who she was and who God has called her to be, an example for these little girls out here on the street that has this beautiful kinky hair and this beautiful brown skin and these big big butts. I'm glad they overcame that.
And what's amazing to me is they were so grounded. You know, a lot of times when you get rich, you try to change stuff. But one of the things you haven't heard about them is they haven't gone to any plastic surgery. They haven't did any thing that was just too outrageous, or we haven't heard about it. And they certainly have not tried to lighten their skin. They're both two chocolate, beautiful women, and their dog pigmentation has remained the same throughout their lives. And so they just ain't got caught up in the foolishness, have they, Joy?
No, and the reason for that, and I can always go back to really just what I think it is, and you had asked what can we do, it starts really at your home foundation, at the foundation. Their parents did not allow them to not think that they were important, that they were special, that anyone else was better than they are. And that's how they were able to carry themselves through all of this ordeal that they have and overcome, because they knew who they were. They knew who they wanted to be, and they knew what the end result. I think we as minorities, we're going to have to start feeling good about who we are, what we are, how we look, you know, stop trying to be like the white person. What make us think that they look in the best, you know, what that beauty is. We have beauty. Remember, you know, when Gladys Knight came out with the big lips? You know, she always had natural big lips, and they used to talk about Gladys Knight. But like Kathy say, they want to inject. They want big lips. But then they thought Angelina Jolie lips was the deal. But honey, we've been having pretty black lips all along. Black lips, black butts. And then when we was doing the dancing, they used to say that our dancing was vulgar. But now, look, it's like they call it the hip-hop, and the white folks does it. So when they do it, everything is natural. So we got to realize that we are the leader of the pack. And when we do something, you know, that is different than someone else, that's just who we are as a race. So why should we change as to who we are? So we got to really get that that foundation about how we are, who we are. And I always told my son is that what make you think that what they said is so different and the right thing than what you think. I don't want to hear what Sally said. I want to hear what you said, you see. So it just started in the home and the foundation. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I have to really commend the family, the mom and the dad. And even though they are divorced or whatever, you didn't even see any friction or negativity. They both was there to support the kid as a unit. And that means something, and it says something too, you know, as a unit. And I just can't say but good things about these guys.
Yeah, it is so amazing to me. And you never even, let's go outside of those two sisters. They have other sisters, and you've never seen those sisters say anything about them or suggest that they don't help them out. You know, no part of their family have we ever heard come in where they don't even help us. We starving, we homeless, and Venus don't care nothing about us, or Serena don't care nothing about us. They ain't helping us. You know, their family, after the death of their sister, the other sister has always been in the box cheering their sisters on and appreciating them. But you have never seen any bite-biting just because those sisters are the ones that put them up front. You know, that the divorce came, and I'm not even really sure why they got divorced, because I never heard of any cheating or anything. So whatever happened between them, they kept it real quiet. Don't you think, Gene?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I want to say real quick, I apologize, Joyce. I called you Julie, but it was Joyce that made the statement. And she made another statement that I want to edify or echo, that we are, as quietly as it's kept, we are the leader of the pack. Our race is very, very creative. We show resilience. under all circumstances throughout history. We persevered through a lot of adversities. So, you know, when you look at the big picture, we're not the ones that jump off the bridge when we lose $100,000. That's something that we can get back to teach our children that we are the leaders of the pack. This story that we're speaking of remind me of Joe Jackson. He had the same idea in mind about raising his kids and showing them that they can be better than what he was. His tactics was a little bit crude, but his intentions were good. And when you listen to the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson music and the Jacksons, they were a special, special kind of bunch. You know, the only difference in between the Jacksons and the Williams sisters is they lacked happiness, so it seemed, as children. They weren't allowed to be happy as children. And so, you know, everything we talk about, I like to think of it as tools that we can use. All of our experiences in life that we bring to this round table are tools that we can use. And if our kids are too far gone for us to use it in their lives, at least we can drop information on them on how they can raise their kids. And, you know, it comes down to the point where sometimes, you know, the kids don't want to hear nothing that we have to say. But like we said in shows past, we have to use different psychology and, you know, and say certain things that, you know, you might not want to hear me, but without me saying, I know you hear me. So I like to say things like that. You know, if I can't use it right now, I'll put it on the shelf. And when life circumstances come up, I know where to go and get what I need. So thank you, Jane, for letting me share that.
Well, you know, when black men commit themselves to their children, great things happen. My father and mother did not have a successful marriage, but my father was a great father. He followed me to every football game, every basketball game. He showed a high level of commitment to me. And one of the things happened was I just never wanted to embarrass my family. Now, I did some things, as, you know, young children or young teens will do. But if I had ever brought any unhappiness to them, I really felt bad about it. And I think that you can truly see that Venus and Serena grew from the kind of relationship that they had with their parents. They never embarrassed their parents. They just did things on top of their game, and they certainly are true role models. I mean, they are true role models. These two women, you've never seen them. I don't ever recall seeing them drunk anywhere that they've gone. They truly are. You haven't heard of them doing any kind of drugs. I mean, the press, the bad press they get comes more from the way they look, the way they dress, and superficial things than anything that's concrete. Kathy, have you ever heard anything that was truly concrete about these two girls?
As far as what are you asking?
I mean, just bad press. I just can't think of anything. You know, a few times they've said that Serena has said some negative things about some of her competitors, but I just don't know of any historically bad press that has ever come out about these two girls.
No, I have never heard of anything, and if it was something out there, they made it up. I don't. those girls are—they're just doing their things. They're being examples, which is what we need to see. And like Joy said, we need to do it in our homes as well. You know, we are the ones that train our children how to be, and when they go out, and sometimes they don't always be and act the way that we think they should or that they should, but as long as we do our part, then we've done our part, and everything else is going to be secondary. So, again, they're doing a fabulous job, and I just appreciate every time I see them on TV. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to go because I'm getting ready to go inside a couple's function. So I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll take a short break. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back to continue our conversation.
Father, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Talks, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And we're going to continue our conversation, but I'm going to take advantage of the fact that Kathy had to leave. You know, Kathy ain't into politics too much, so I hope Dee and Joyce have had their ears to the ground related to our president. And if they have anything they'd like to share, I know I got a lot to talk about, but I'm going to see what's on your mind. Dee, what do you think about these first few days of our president, Donald Trump?
Well, James, when you flipped the script that time, then that's all right, because I'm like you. Well, I'm somewhat detoxing off of Donald Trump here. I had said a year ago that there was no way in God's green earth that he would become president. And lo and behold, due to the Democratic neglect, here he is. But I'm not surprised, man. I mean, this guy is really, he reminds me of the Joker. The Joker that, say, from the first Batman movie with Jack Nicholson, when he played the Joker, he told the crowd that you can trust me. Who do you believe? Do you believe them or do you believe me? And he sold that to his followers, stock and barrel. And in that, they set aside all rational thinking, all rationale, all critical thinking, And the guy is, he hasn't surprised me at all. He is the biggest clown that ever set foot on the stage of the presidency. Now, I made a comment the other day that he ain't the problem. The problem is the next candidate who, with insane thinking, all he needs is a following. And with Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity at the helm, secretly and quietly as they are, they are the one that's really be stoking up all this stuff. And so it just took somebody like Donald Trump with his own money where he couldn't be touched to actually bring all this to a realization. But I'm not surprised. We're going to owe everybody a huge apology before all this is over.
Well, you know, D, one of the things I see is I think his candidacy or his presidency is going to be marred by nothing more than constant rallies and people out in the streets showing their unhappiness. Today I've seen several rallies about his immigration policy, and they're calling it a racist policy, that people are saying, I guess we need to move the Statue of Liberty to Canada. You know, I mean, this man is making a mockery of what is our Constitution. And so it is just, you have people who can't, who went out of the country, who are afraid that they may not be allowed back in, who have their visas and have their green cards. And so this man is making a mockery of who we are supposed to be as a nation. Joyce, your thoughts? Are you there, Joyce? And I just see this as crazy.
Oh,
thank you. I don't know if you...
Okay, go ahead, Joyce. I had my phone locked up. I got this phone that I don't know how to use, so when you start hitting buttons, you don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
It's scary. I think we're going to be in a bad situation, and my husband was saying earlier today when he got home, he had heard on the news that the people who was flying in the air, he reneged their visa, so they were sending them back, and their own country may not take them back. Now the Muslim, the other countries don't want to take our people. I mean, and then they're saying, well, why should we fight for you? You know, you got your American soldiers over there fighting next to Muslims, and he's just off the chain. He has no, but he's so cruel. He has no tact. He has no finesse. He's a cutthroat. He's cocky. He's arrogant. He's everything negative. And why would we put someone at the throne like that? But, you know, James, I called it, remember? You remember you said that I told you, I said, you guys, we really need Florida to come on through. We need really need those people to vote. And you, everybody saying, well, we're going to wake up the next morning with a new president. And I told him, it looks like I think Trump is going to be your man. And no one didn't think that. But look at him now. He's a wild card.
It is ridiculous. And when he makes statements, you know what hurts me or irks me more is I constantly say this, I think I'm an intelligent person. I may not be the smartest person in the world, but when I can listen to things and I can come to a conclusion, this man said he going to build a wall and Mexico going to pay for it. First of all, you ain't going to tell me I'm going to pay for something that I don't want. And then you publicly tell everybody you're going to make me pay for something. That's when I'm going to really not pay for it. The other thing is his cronies are talking about, oh, well, we'll put tariffs on the things that they ship over here. Well, that ain't them paying for it. That's us paying for it in the beginning and paying for it again in the end by increased prices. So you got to, ain't nothing they said is going to make them pay for it. And so when I heard him say, well, we'll take the money from the cartels, we're already taking the money from the cartels. So that ain't making them pay for it. So the money we take from the cartels,
we've always been keeping. So there is no new money that they've talked about getting to pay for that wall. And that wall is not going to be effective no more than that fence is, because when you put up a barrier, somebody's going to find a way to go over it or go under it. So you wasting your time. You literally are wasting your time. And so here we are. Everything that this man says or does suggests that he's out of touch with the reality of doing his job, and I think there are going to be mass protests all the time based on the decisions that he makes. D?
Yes, sir. I'm not too worried, James. I'm not too worried. I'm going to tell you why. You know, for the longest time, for years and years and years, the spin doctors in politics and in the media have been at us for years. And they've been spinning stuff to try to make it where we don't understand it, where they thought we didn't understand it. They thought we wasn't savvy enough to keep up and understand things. So they thought we had selective memory about a whole bunch of stuff that we will soon forget and stuff like that. But my point is that since Trump won the nomination, we have seen a lot of white folks and senators and diplomats and other folks who we haven't even really heard of come out the box and to speak against him. Now, my point is that if I can use this phrase, and I said somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it's some reality to it. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I say that to say, these people that even Republicans alike, along with Democrats, they are at this guy. They're at this guy because he got a lot of stuff, whereas he contradicts himself in a matter of hours. The tweeting episode is going to be his Achilles heel, especially when it comes down to national security. You know, he's easily antagonized. So, and he lashes back at anything that's ever been said about him. So it's going to be a couple of years, if that. He won't be in there much longer. A couple of years of that. Now, the repercussion of the things that he's done already and trying to do, it may be irreversible in some ways. But, you know, I'm thinking that the other side, on the right side of the aisle, along with the left side of the aisle, they're going to come together for the first time about this guy. If they can't agree on anything, they can agree on this guy that he got to go.
Yeah, I really believe that he's going to be impeached before his first term is ended. I think that he is too arrogant, he's too prideful, and I just feel like the Democrats are going to win the House and the Senate and at the midterm elections, and that there's something going to come up. I just don't believe all the foolishness he has done in the dark is not going to come to the light. And that he will continue to think that he is too prideful. You know, if you remember, and I can't think of the guy's name, but he was the third to the president, and his past came back to hunt him, and he was recently put in jail for lying to the FBI about his paying off somebody who's going to bring to light that he was a child molester. And so I think that Donald Trump has even more hidden ugliness in his closet. And we're going to see something that we've never seen before when it all comes to light.
Well, you know, James, real quick, you know they say that the Russians got some on him about him paying for strippers and having them pee on the bed, and he's there gawking at them and stuff like that. And that may be the missing link between him and the Russians. So it said that they got some on them, and the friendship with he and Gladimir is the hush money. It's a lot more that's going to come out. I'm sure of it.
George, do you think he'll make it through his first 4 years?
No, and the way that he's going, I got a terrible feeling we're going to be in a crucial world war against the other countries that was befriended us within the next 6 months. It is crucial what he did today. It's just devastating. He has upset nations today about not allowing them visas, stopping them from coming into the country. And it's just crazy. Now he's trying to deport people back. I mean, even people with green cards. This is ridiculous. So my thing is, it's gonna be ugly within the next 6 months. We're going to be in a state, a crucial state. What he's putting the United States in. He's so unpredictable. That's why it's so scary for him to have the codes. Because what's going to happen now is that he's going to start getting heat from both sides of Congress. He's going to start getting heat from other countries. And what make him not being so egotistic that he might not mash the button? That's what people are afraid of.
Jane, can I interact right here real quick? Okay. So,
go ahead.
Thank you, buddy. I'm sorry. I think what we should do is to think of the probables and the impossibles also. I am a avid movie watcher. And when it comes down to movies like 2012 and a lot of other movies where the probability of all the billionaires getting together, I said that if he was elected president, that all and his billionaire cronies would probably get together intentionally or unintentionally start a world war.
Mm-hmm.
And with their money, they can build a space station and stay on the space station until all this blow over and then come back and reconstruct. As asinine as that sounds, that is not too impossible.
Well, I tell you what, I just believe, like I said, that he's not going to make it his first 4 years. He creates animosity with everybody everywhere he goes. I mean, you know, he sit there and he starts fights about stuff that don't make any sense. Like if he has fewer people in the inaugural, so who cares? We know that the first black president had more people in the inaugural. We knew that was going to be the case. He mad because he didn't win the popular vote. So then he makes a statement about, everybody who voted illegally, they didn't vote for me. How could you know that? You know what I'm saying? He makes statements that don't even come close to being something that he could know for sure. So it is just asinine the way he talks, and if he can't put himself in check, it will continue that way, and it'll get worse and worse. And so I just don't look forward to him even making the first 4 years without him opening a can of worms that he can't close up. We're going to take another short break, and we'll come back and have the final word.
Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you. Thank you.
is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, we want to make sure that your voice is heard loud and clear. So we want you to call in to 657-383-0309 and have your voice be heard on the topics that we discuss on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Dee, what is your final word for today?
Well, James, I promise it's going to be short. And my final words are, if pictures are worth 1,000 words, then look at President Obama's face at the inauguration, and more importantly, look at Melania's face. That's what we got to deal with right there. The eyes tell all. Thank you, James.
All right. George, your final word for today?
I don't understand that, D. You're going to have to break it down to me what it is now. You said look at Obama's face and Melania's, but what it's nothing in common, though, right?
Yeah, well, it's a face of on President Obama's face is, I hope y'all are ready for what you're going to get.
Right.
Because, you know, for months on end, he was saying he was trying to convey the fact that this guy was mentally unfit to be president.
Yeah, you're
right.
Okay.
They didn't want to hear that. Now, Melania's face, on the other hand, is that this guy is abusive.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're right.
I see that. You can see that. That's right. He's abusive.
No, I didn't pick. I picked up on that, but I was afraid to say because I didn't think that everybody see it, and she see fear in her too. Don't you see that?
That's right. You see fear.
She's scared.
And see,
yeah.
I want to say to you, George, and we gonna get to this. So hopefully, sometime down the line, that one of God's gifts that He has given us as human beings is the gift of discernment. And so when you see that. You trust what you see. Trust what you see. And so, yep. So it is what it is. Thank you, folks. I love y'all.
I think it's up to that she's not going to be living full time at the White House. Let me just tell you, I could not imagine being married and in love with my wife and she not be living full time wherever I was. If that was an option.
Well, my oldest sister, and you guys don't know her, but she said, "Don't be shocked when he comes one day and she took her son and her and got the hell out of there, and say you guys can have that White House and everything."
I'm promising.
It's gonna
happen.
She's gonna run. She ain't gonna be able to hang like that. No way.
Mm-mm. And
she's uncomfortable.
And to see the president is going to distract him so that she may have opportunity to run.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be interesting.
Well, as always, guys, I want to just say to you all, thank you all so much for calling in and supporting the show, and know that I truly appreciate the support that and discussions that we have. Because we're so honest about our feelings, and that's what's important. We have to show real, honest emotions related to the way we feel about our country and the direction our country is going in. And I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow, Sunday at 6 p.m. East Coast time, 3 o'clock West Coast time, where your voices can be heard loud and clear.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me to break all the rules of the past. I find myself waiting to overcome the next connection will be strengthened by the experience. You have created a love within me which was unforeseeable. I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. My commitment to us is deeper than I ever conceived it could be between a man and a woman. I never dreamed that my belief in the Lord's word would manifest itself in this fashion. I live to put into words what being one with you does to my spirit. I look forward to loving you in a way not known to either of us. Have I ever known love like this? I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. I have never loved like this before. I refuse to allow it to disappear as those in the past. You are my treasure that I've searched for most of my adult life. It would be crazy to let the daily distractions of living dismantle what I have discovered. I will not look back, but embrace the new love created by our connection. I've never known love like this. I never known love like this. I've never known love like this. Never known love like this.